May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is son of Israel Abel, Shamil Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is son of Israel Abel, Deacon Buffalo Bill Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary.
At this time, we turn the services over to the great Kahan, Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. Great saints of Yahweh, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Are you hoping we don't have to leave? Well, we won't even think about that because we're just getting started now. I'm going to continue on this story here of the 323 reindeer. You probably thought I was done, but no, we're far from done. Yahweh is continuing to reveal this parable. The 323 reindeer, if you remember, this story came out on August 29th of 2016. About the 323 reindeer killed by a lightning strike in Norway. And if you remember, I want you to keep the Oslo Peace Accord in mind too, because remember Oslo is in Norway. And we'll be talking about that. I want you all to remember to get a copy of this new newsletter, the Halloween God Worship, The Trap of Death, 4,200 religions teaching you to go to hell. Okay? And that's exactly what they're doing, and we're going to continue to expose this satanic system, this Baal system, and the world is going to one day wake up and see very shortly here who they're following. Now, I want you to remember the cover. This is the 10th Roman month of the new calendar. You see Pope Francis up here with our great overseer. And what's written up there, it says, the ultimate showdown of righteousness versus evil being played out now, says Israel Hawkins. Now, if you know, I'm going to give you another synonym of this word showdown. It's showdown is a contest, okay? It's a contest. As you can see, here's the definition of contest. It means a showdown. And it also means this. It means to square off. To square off, okay? There's a squaring off taking place between the house of Yahweh and the house of Baal. And I want to show you in Gematria this phrase, the ultimate showdown of righteousness and evil versus evil being played out now, says Israel Hawkins. You see the number 6438. Well, the number 6438, and I want you to think of Times Square, it means an angle, a chieftain, a chief, corner, a tower. And it means a corner or a corner of square objects, like Times Square. Okay? But I want you to also remember ruler or chief. And it's from 6434, and it means to turn an angle of a street or wall. I really need you to be writing these down. It's very important to be writing these numbers down. Okay? And writing these definitions. I know it's hard to keep up with, but you've got to try your best. Okay? You're always looking for your willingness and your effort. But it's very important to get these numbers down because Yahweh speaks in the language of numbers to you. To turn an angle of a street or wall, corner of square objects. Now, I also want you to remember a psalm, Psalm 118, verse 22, where it's written, the stone The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. I want you to remember that. And I want you to also remember this year, 2016. Remember, I just read you what this 6438 means, turn. One of the definitions is turn. And 2016 means just that. It means to turn, okay? To overturn, to reverse, okay? To reverse. Remember those definitions. And it's from 2015, which means to turn about or turn over, turn again or turn back again, overturn, overthrow, etc. Okay, so what's that got to do with Times Square and 323? Well, let's go back 2 months to August. On the August 8th Roman month, when this reindeer story took place, y'all remember there was a bus with the number 323, and then you saw up here, and I don't know how well you can see this because I can see it's a little blurry on my screen, but what it says is Pope Francis Jorge Mario Bergoglio, the world loves you. Okay? But I want you to remember it's got, says Pope Francis, and then Jorge Mario Bergoglio is in parentheses, okay? So it's all there. And then it says, has Israel Hawkins and Yochanan 7-7, the world hates him, okay? Now, I want you to remember Captain Kirk, okay? Or remember what Kirk meant in Scottish, Circe or circle. Y'all remember that? I didn't hear anything, but I hope you do. 323, 6, 7, 8, and 113 are the numbers associated with that. And you remember Star Trek, remember the Enterprise and the enterprising religions that we went over back earlier this year. And I want you to also remember Hollywood, California's area code is 323, also known as Follywood. Okay, I guess they got Dollywood, where Dolly Parton has her theme park. They've got Bollywood in India. They've got Follywood in California. Okay? Now, on the same day that the reindeer story came out, and I held this back because I didn't have time last time, but I'd like to show you. Hollywood's biggest show on HBO, and don't go there, please. Don't go watching this to see anything. I'm showing you. Okay, Yahweh will show you what you need to know. This story is called, or this show is called The Game of Thrones. Okay? And Cersei is one of the main characters. And Cersei, now notice the date, August 29th, 12:12. And I want you to be thinking, when you see that number 12:12, think of Revelation 21, where it talks about the dimensions of the holy city. And the number 12 is written all over it, and the 144, the 144 cubits, and the 216 feet that those 144 cubits represent. We got to get these numbers down in our mind. But August 29th, it says, Cersei's Game of Thrones attack ad is the most vicious you'll see this election season. Well, they were having an election to see who was the most, a mock election to see who was the most hated character on this show. And before I show you the results of that election, here's her name and the lady that plays this, Cersei. As you can see, it's the word Cersei. That's where it came from. Cersei or Circle, remember the one who turned men into pigs? The enchantress who murdered her husband and is forced to live in solitude, etc. All the things that we talked about before about Cersei. Here's from Wikipedia, Cersei Lannister, that's her name on the show. And I want you to know what she's known as. The Queen of Seven Kingdoms. The Queen of Seven Kingdoms. Now, how would Hollywood, how would Follywood know about that? Remember the seven works? Here's the election results, if anybody's interested. Game of Thrones election results. Six forty-two ballots cast. The election results can give a good idea of which ones are the most loved characters in this Game of Thrones. Well, Cersei lost. Okay? Cersei lost, and I think that's just a precursor to what's to come. Now, remember on this gematria up there on the wall in Times Square, I gave you some numbers, and one of them I'm going to remind you was 678. And 678, now this is going to tie in, so you need to write this number down, in the Hebrew means nobles, nobles, nobles. Or a side corner chief. Side corner chief. It's from 678, and it means an extremity. An extremity, noble, chief, man, chief corner side. And it's from 680, and it means to join, to join. It also means to separate, hence to select, refuse, contract, keep, reserve, straighten, take. It also means set apart. And it's from 1018, which means a house of narrowing, house of narrowing. Just keep those in mind because they'll come in handy later. Now, the other number associated with that bill or that saying, the ultimate showdown, was 113, which means Adonai, Baal, you know, Lord, Master, Ruler, referring to men and gods. And it is the other 113 in the Greek means criminal, wicked, lawless. Okay, someone that breaks. One who breaks through the restraint of law and gratifies his lusts. Okay, that's what 113 means on this gematria that I showed you of Captain Kirk. Okay, Captain Kirk, that's who it was. I'm sorry, those numbers were associated with Captain Kirk or Cersei. Just think of Cersei whenever you hear that. Now, some other people you need to associate with the number 323 is this, Lucifer. Lucifer is, gematria is 323. Also capitalism, you know, money making. And I showed you how Malachi Martin showed about the capitalists and how they wanted to open the borders and make all the money they could. Here's another one that's associated with 323, Catholicism. Catholicism. Now remember who was up on that billboard there in Times Square with Pastor? And the way it was written, it said Pope Francis Jorge Mario Bergoglio. And notice, it's 323. You know, Yahweh tells on him all the time, doesn't he? Doesn't Yahweh just tell on him? You know, he doesn't tell on him to the world because the world would not understand this. The world's not even looking for it. But the house of Yahweh reveals the secrets, okay? And only through the house of Yahweh can you find them. Now, the other number associated with that right there, Pope Francis Mario Bergoglio is 1546, and it means exile. It means exile, and it means to be carried away. And it's from this word here, 1540, and it means to uncover, and it means to banish. Carry away. It also means to reveal, to truly reveal, and revealed means to uncover things revealed, and it's from 1546 in the Greek means a throwing out. Now you remember that bus that was leaving? The 323 was being driven out. Well, lo and behold, it's from 1544, and it means driven, eliminated, sent away. Sent away packing on that bus. Okay? And that bus was heading toward the Manhattan Bridge. In fact, if you look over that picture, you'll see a bridge right here. No, that's not the Golden Gate Bridge. That's the Manhattan Bridge. And I'll be talking about that more at another time, because you need to learn about the arch that's at the end of that bridge entering Manhattan as you go over the bridge. Remember the arches of Baal. We won't get into that today. But it means to send out, cast out. Now, turn over to Genesis 3:23 real quick. 3:23. Oh, boy. I have to wing it without my glasses again, I guess. But I've been eating my eggs, so I should do better. House of Yahweh eggs. Okay, it says, therefore, Yahweh sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. Remember the two trees in the garden. Remember the word Eden there that Pastor told us about yesterday, because we're gonna see that here shortly. Now, Pastor talked about, driven out or banished is what you should get from that. But remember, did Yahweh drive Cain out? No, he took himself out. Okay, he got on a bus and headed on to Manhattan, the land of the drunkard, the inebriated. Remember what Manhattan meant? Okay, let's look at this ship in the news that Pastor told us about yesterday, because it's got a really interesting captain on board, doesn't it? I mean, get real. Captain Kirk, of all people, right? Okay, here's the ship. It's called the USS Zumwalt, and I'm probably thinking Walt Disney has a lot to do with that Walt there on the end. But let's look at a little further here. It's also called DDG 1000, and that's the number on that boat right there. I don't know if you can see very well, but it's got the number 1000 written right there. This is the Navy's first stealth ship. And notice when it was commissioned. Yesterday. The very day Pastor told you about it. But we read about this way back, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the same week that the Star Trek sermon was given. Right after it. Oh, thank you, Great Con. Whew. Praise Yahweh for help. Okay, so it was commissioned yesterday, and I'm probably supposed to read something else here on that. Yeah. This is, it says, Zumwalt's commanding officer is Captain James A. Kirk. Kirk attracted, let me see if I can zoom out on this, some media attention when he was first named a captain due to the similarity of his name that the Star Trek television series character Captain James T. Kirk played by William Shatner. And it says Shatner wrote a letter of support to Zumwalt's crew in April of 2014. And it shows that it was commissioned. Now get this, the U.S. Navy commissioned the Zumwalt on 15 October 2016 in Baltimore. In Baltimore. Now, you're going to learn about Baltimore in a moment, because this ship was commissioned just yesterday. Captain Kirk, I guess, is really impressed with it. He says that the Navy's enterprising USS Zumwalt rides like a soup-up SUV. Okay, and there's the number 1,000. And it's got a price tag, it says, of a whopping $4.4 billion. $4.4 billion. But see, you wouldn't make any sense of that unless you knew the gematria of 44, which is 144. Okay, 44 equals 144. Think of the 144. In Revelation 21, think of the 144,000, okay? And think of that 144 hooked onto that 1,000, and what would you have? Well, you'd have 144,000, right? But let's talk some more about this. Oh, it's got this written on it right here. In fact, I got a picture of it. It says, Pax Proctor Vim, which means peace through strength. Peace through strength. Peace through power. You know, military power, right? It also says, Kirk rolls with questions about his sharing the first and last name of the fictional captain of the Starship Enterprise, telling reporters, live long and prosper. By the way, did you see the new postage stamp in Abilene there? If you went to the post office, they got that sign. I can't do it with my fingers. I don't even want to try. I'll probably break them. But that live long and prosper stamp they're selling. Prosper, I guess, get rich, right? Chase riches. Leave the house of Yahweh chasing riches. No, no, no. You're the richest people on the face of the planet. Soon to be the highest paid in the universe. Okay, now, this commissioning took place yesterday, October 14th. Or this is from yesterday. It says it was going to be commissioned on Saturday, which was yesterday. And notice what it says. It will formally enter the U.S. fleet in Baltimore in an act of pageantry that goes back thousands of years, and it's called the commissioning ceremony. They've been doing this since 3000 B.C. When they launch a ship, they usually, they would slaughter some goats. In Greece, they would put wreaths of olive branches on their head, drink wine in honor to the gods, and pour water on the new vessel as a symbol of blessing. Today, it's a little simpler than that. And it's, when they commission a ship, they also tell them to man our ship and bring her to life. Man our ship and bring her to life. Now, I want you to remember Baltimore is where they did this. And this is from the history of Baltimore. And let me read it what it says here. In 1729, some local entrepreneurs obtained a charter to establish Baltimore Town on a portion of Cole's land. The name was brought to America by the English Lord Baltimore, who founded Maryland Colony in 1614 or 34. It derived from a town on the eastern shore of St. George's Channel in County Cork in Ireland. In the Irish, Baal Timor means great place or circle of Baal, the sun god. Now, that would just be a coincidence, right? That they commissioned this, launched this ship here, ready for battle. Well, ready for battle against who? Who are they trying to destroy? Will they prevail?
No.
Are you scared?
No.
There's the number on the boat. The gematria for DDG 1000 is 603. Pastor mentioned that number yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, notice what it means. It means earnest expectation. An earnest expectation, and it comes from the idea and the sense of watching. Watch, work, and wait. And it's Romans 8:19. Remember, the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of who? It's also from this word, 602, and it means to cry and groan. Remember, the whole world is crying and groaning for deliverance. Remember that? And who's going to deliver them from this bondage of corruption? The Catholic Church? No, the house of Yahweh, the sons of Yahweh, and the daughters of Yahweh. Okay, that's 606. But can't go through all the definitions because I don't have enough time, but I'm going to continue this. But I want you to look at another one. 906 is another number associated with it, and it means linen, fine white linen. Remember this boat, 1,000 written on it, right? And it means to withdraw, be separate, be isolated. It means to divide. You remember there's the way of the world is going to be divided or separated from the way of Yahweh. Is it not being done, house of Yahweh? Are you not exalting? Are you not extolling the ephah? Well, something else occurred on 603. Yes, that's right. There's the banner that's been lifted. There's the banner that's been lifted, the Ten Commandments. You know, the churches don't dare do that. But we do. And you're going to learn a lot more on it. But I also want you to remember that ship, you know, the... Actually, I got to get this part in right here. Let's see. Right here. I got to get this in before I stop, but for today, because there'll be more on it. But if you'll notice the Ten Commandments, and it's got some scriptures written there, Isaiah 34:16, Revelation 22:14. Isn't that beautiful? Now, to some, it may not be so beautiful, right? But they'll learn to love it. I want you to look at this gematria of the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of Yahweh, because it's tied into this billboard. And it means, one of the numbers was 5733, and it means rest. Rest. Remember the rest that Yahweh offers, the Sabbath, and his laws that give you rest? And it means pleasure. It's, and here's the word that it's associated with. Eden, huh, wow, the protected place. And the other number was 874, and it means distinctly, to make distinct or plain, to expound or inscribe. And it's used here in Habakkuk 2:2, where he tells them to write them plainly. Let's go there real quick. Go to Habakkuk 2. Verse 2, because I got to get this in. I'm sorry. Habakkuk 2:2. I'll give you a page number once I find it. Okay, 7:11. Actually, it's 7:10. But it says Habakkuk 2:2. So Yahweh answered me and said, "Write the vision, engrave it clearly upon tablets, that he may run who reads it." Okay, now, it also means to engrave, to explain and declare plainly, or make plain. And it's from 874. Oh, by the way, if you look up the word tablet, write it on a tablet. I don't think I brought it with me, but that word tablet means board. Board, like a billboard. And it means plank board. I probably have it here somewhere, but I may have to show it another time. Okay, now, so it also means this. This is my last scripture, or my last definition. It's from 874, and it means a starting point. A start, a launching point. You know, like that launching of that ship, right? Commissioning of the ship. But it's also a launching point for another successful endeavor that's fixing to take place. Y'all know what that might be? Well, you better get ready. It says right here, it says, a place from which a movement or attack is made, a base of operations. Who do you think's getting ready to flow here in droves? Who do you think's getting ready to come? That's right. This revealing of the sons of Yahweh is about to take place. Are you ready? And just to show you there, as I'm getting my papers, you know, there's the machine that was rented to lift those poles up. Notice the number there? Yeah. You think Yahweh had this planned out for millions and millions of years? What do you think? Oh, you bet. You sure did. I'm out of time, but we're gonna continue on this here hopefully very soon. And if you'd all please stand. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to one of Yahweh's great priests, the great Kohen Eliyah Hawken.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. We're going to go over a few things today that's going to require you to be like the Bereans, to go home and study and to hopefully solidify in everyone's mind, whether you're here in Abel, whether you're across this planet of ours called Earth, solidify in everyone's mind the magnitude of the authority and the honor that the seventh Malak has not only on this earth, but throughout this universe. It is very important. You know, we tend to say Yisrael Hawkins is Yahweh's seventh Malak. Do we truly understand the magnitude that that entails? We show it by our honoring his words through our actions and applying the things he teaches us every day through a learning. Though we may fall 7 times 70, we pick ourselves up, we quickly repent, and we apply ourselves. Turn over to Revelation chapter 22. These are all familiar scriptures, but they're important scriptures. Yahshua himself said in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16, I, Yahshua, have sent my Malak to testify to you these things in the congregation of the house of Yahweh. So even Yahshua says, yes, I have sent this Malak who was chosen by Yahweh, the seventh Malak. I know the world would like to think, and they like to refer, you people make Yisrael Hawkins a god. No, he's Yahweh's seventh Malak. That is the highest position one can be in on this earth. The gods would have to look up. They're far below him. So no comparison whatsoever. But once again, Yahshua is saying, I have sent my Malak to testify on these things. I want to get in everyone's mind and show everyone today the authority and the honor that not only pastor receives in Yahweh's house, he will receive from this world, Yahshua working hand in hand with him in everything they do in complete unity. No arguing, no questioning. Even when pastor years ago, we will show where he said, I don't have a scripture for it. How many times do you think Yahshua said that? It's not like he had book two to say, well, look, I said right here. No, I don't have a scripture for it, but this is what Yahweh has shown me. This is what Yahshua is showing me just for us to see it come to pass, but not through much ridicule, hatred, doubt, and a lot of persecution. Remember in Matthew chapter 16, Yahshua said that the gates of hell will not prevail against this work, against this last day's work, and that it would be accomplished. We would see this through. And remember, Daniel longed to know something, but he was told, Daniel, seal it up, it's not for you to know. But then we were told, and we've been shown, that there would be a man that would come, our high priest, as Hebrews 10:21 says, Yahshua is our high priest over the house of Yahweh. There would be a person come that would qualify to open these seals, to reveal the things that were not known in a previous time. If you'll turn over to Isaiah 48, and we're going to go over a translation that was brought forth, the Feast of Passover of 2013, and it derived from a cloud. It was the 2413 cloud, so you can go back and get that sermon for the in-depth translation of it. But it's something very important that we see, and it's a complete unity, and once again, it's instructions given from a plan that was from the beginning. Yahweh knew these things from the beginning. Even our very selves, he knew that we had the ability, the genetic ability within us to do these things. But in Isaiah chapter 49 or 48, chapter 48 and verse 9, we'll read it quickly. Then we'll go back and once again go get the sermon that was given Passover of 2013 for all the translations, and it will explain it in detail. But we have, it says in verse 9, for my name's sake I will defer my anger. We know that would be judgment, not anger. And for my praise, I will restrain you so that I do not cut you off. He's speaking to someone. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you, chosen you. Yes, he's chosen someone in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will do it. For how could dishonor come to my name? I will not give my glory to another. Not that he wouldn't give it to this one person, but he won't give it to anyone else. Listen to me, O Jacob, that is the other witness. Jacob, the other witness, who was given to the curse, who repented. Jacob repented, he died. Of course, those who followed him turned and went another way. Jacob himself repented. And Yisrael, my called. I am he, I am the first, I am also the last. This is a very interesting point right here in verse 13. You notice it says, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth. My right hand has spanned the heavens. When I summon them together, they will minister together. The word hand is in verse number 13. when you look that word up, it's number 3027, and it specifically means left hand. Left hand. Praise Yahweh. So we understand who was led by the left, who steps to the left side of Yahweh and is led with his right hand. We see it in Isaiah 41:13. Yisrael Hawkins, of course, is led by that left hand. Who sits at the right hand of Yahweh? Yahshua Messiah. In verse 14, it says, all of you gather yourselves together and hear. Listen, this man has something to say. Who among them has foretold these things? Yahweh has loved him. He will do his pleasures on Babylon, and his army will be on the Chaldeans. I want to read you the translation that we got from that. Once again, you can find the detail in that going through the sermon. In verse 9, for my name's sake, I will be patient, and for my witness, I will restrain the beastly system from you so that you are not destroyed. In verse 10, behold, I have proven and purified you as gold, but not with money. I have tested you with human sufferings and poverty. In verse 11, for my name's sake, I will do it. For how could dishonor come to my name? I will not pour out my character on another to teach this character. Listen to me, Yaakov and Yisrael, Yahweh's two witnesses, whom I have called by name. I am he, I am the first, I am also the last. Verse 13, he who sits to my left hand, Yisrael, was born at the and began the work of Yahweh, was established from the ends of the earth. Yahshua has ascended into the heavens. I will call and commission them by name together. They will teach, minister together in unity. Praise Yahweh. In verse 14, this is where we all fall into this unity of the one sent, the work of the two witnesses, Verse 14, all of you gather yourselves together and hear the one speaking. Remember what Yahshua said, man does not live by bread alone, but by the every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, correct? Who is the mouth of Yahweh in these last days? Yisrael Hawkins. Who among them has made known these things before were not understood? Yahweh has loved him. He will do Yahweh's work in a Babylonian land, and his sons and daughters will teach those who worship the gods. His sons and daughters will teach those who worship the gods. Brothers and sisters, that is our job, to become like the one sent, who is in complete unity with Yahweh. I want to take you back to a sermon that was given back in February. It was February the 1st of 1997. And if we could go ahead and please play audio clip one.
You know, Lucifer, it's so hard to understand, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get it across, the position that this woman has, and why she's had it for so long, how she got it, why she's dying, and the great power that she has right now in these last few years to deceive. But the deception is so, we were talking about it the other day, it's so wonderfully planned, you know. You've got to see the magnificent mind that this lady has, that Yahweh gave this lady, to be able to bring about such great deception as she has brought about, and then to continue it, even though the prophecies are being fulfilled at this time, one by one, every prophecy, and you see it going right down the line, and yet the whole world following after this woman, and seeing that she is condemned in 1988, she was given 10 years. Now, of course, I don't know if exactly how she was given the 10 years. I know it's from a court. The court decided this, and this is what the Hebrew words show. I've got Yehuda working in there now, because I'm thinking that that 10-year sentence is shown in some scriptures, but so far we've been unable to find it. But I've told him what to look for, and hopefully we'll find it before the sermon's over. If we don't, it may not be there. I'm not exactly sure.
Now, listen to that. Pastor felt inspired to bring something that he felt was there. It could be there. I can see it in Yahweh's plan. It's got to be there. But if it's not, I'll readily admit I'm wrong. He didn't say that if I'm wrong, we'll change something and make it work. Don't worry about that. But he's given a sermon, and I actually remembered it as Kanye Huda saying it. And I called Kanye Huda. I said, where's your notes at? I really would like to go over them. He told me, he said, listen, I didn't do any of that. Pastor called me and said, hey, it's here. Go find it. It's there. He said, all I did was do what he told me to do. Praise Yahweh. But notice, Satan was given 10 years, but yet people, even in this world today, people are eating and drinking and being merry and doing whatever they want to do. They're asking in the news that we'll show later this feast. They go up and ask people randomly what's taking place in the Middle East. People don't know. They don't want to know. If we could please go ahead and play clip two.
Well, how did the Lilith, you know, how did she get this authority? And why was it given to her, you know? Why would Yahweh entrust her with such great authority? And did he know that this was going to take place? Did he know that she was actually going to turn? In 1988, she was given this 10 years. Now, who gave it to her? And why was it given to her? And she has had now 6,000 years of this. And why was she given so long when the earth, you know, went through such great mourning and disaster and destruction for all these years? Why did it continue? Why did it? It looks like if it was just they thought that it was going to go the other way, or the governments did, the governments in heaven actually thought that it was going to go the other way, they would have had a time limit set, or maybe not set a time limit and say, go in there and see what you can do, and if you don't do it right, we'll replace you. That's what all jobs do, right? Now, the 10 years that was given in 1988, there's 10 years left, and it was ruled either at that time in heaven that she can have 10 more years, or it was ruled at that time or to remind her that she had only 10 years left in which to prove that she can bring peace through the Catholic Church.
Now notice, she was given 10 years to prove, she would be given 10 years to prove that she could bring peace. She could bring peace through the Catholic Church her way. That was decided in a court. In the courts of heaven, and of course, we have a court here on earth. It's known as a house of prayer, a house of petition. Where is that house located? Right here, absolutely. When a prayer is offered, when vows are made, when confessions are made, they come through this court, and they're offered to a heavenly court, but it has to come through this earthly court first. Knowing that Pastor and Yahshua working hand to hand, could Pastor possibly be the one to put this 10 years into effect and Yahshua wait this whole time waiting for Pastor to give the okay? Is it possible? Let's go ahead and play the third clip to that sermon, the last clip to that audio sermon.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Dave, come here.
Sorry. Go ahead. You can do it.
Revelation 12:12. And Pastor was speaking about that a minute ago. He had me in the office. If you'll look at it real quick, the scripture reads, therefore rejoice, well, you heavens and you who dwell in them. Revelation 12:12, back to the end of your book. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath because she knows that she has but a short time. The word time in this scripture traces back to the Hebrew word yom. This word is listed on page 399 of a Hebrew and English lexicon to the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means 10 days. In prophecy, Revelation, Daniel, Yekezkiah, and otherwise, in prophecy, Yekezkiah 4 verse 6 says, I have appointed you each day for a year. Therefore, what Revelation 12:12 is saying here is that Satan's short time is 10 years.
Praise God. So as Pastor was speaking, you can hear the emotion. He knew it was there. And as he was speaking, a priest who he had sent to research it, to find it, was able to find it. Now, in Revelations 12:12, you can go there, and you'll see all those footnotes that the great Khan Yehuda gave is over to the left-hand side in the column for your notes. They're all there for you. 10 years was given in a court that this woman be allowed to have 10 years to bring peace. 10 years to bring peace. Do it her way. But after this 10 years was up, it was up. It was over. Now, in this court that we have here on earth, Daniel, go to Daniel 12:7 really quickly. Daniel 12:7, a very familiar scripture. Pastor recently said, he goes, you know, there's more to this time, times, and half a times than what we're seeing here. We need to research it. And I kind of was trying to be comical with him. I said, I think we should ask the one that said it. You know, he looked at me. That's not that easy, you know, because he's the one that said it. Daniel's seen him say it. But Yahshua, could it possibly be that Yahshua was waiting for this court for the one sent who testified on his behalf? Could it possibly be that he was waiting for this to take place, for the one sent to ask him to go ahead and institute this judgment, this sentence that's been given, and give her 10 years? Her 10 years are left. My people are ready. Give us the 10 years and we will fulfill this job. If we could go ahead and play the video clip.
But the authority now, by the authority, listen to me closely, by the authority invested in me by Yahshua, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, I do announce to all who can hear that I, Yisrael Hawkins, the last day's witness, do loose the four messengers of the nations spoken of in the Revelation 6, 7, and 9 for the purpose of fulfilling that hour of trial, that time season of trial, which will now come upon all those who dwell upon the earth, to prove that governments of the people and by the people do not bring peace. It will be for a time and times and the divided time when Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out his power through his holy people. All these things will be finished. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Now keep in mind that right there was done September 9th of 2006. And after that took place, of course, he announced nuclear war would start September 12th of 2006. This nuclear baby would be conceived. And boy, did the ridicule come. If you notice, Revelation 12:13 says, and the dragon, once she seen she was cast down, she persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man. Keep in mind the court battles we went through. The people who still sit in prison to this day under false accusations. Nothing more than a hatred towards this government and a hatred because a sentence had been pronounced. You can take him away and put him in prison, but you can't have his life. You can arrest the witness twice, but you can't keep him in there. We've recently seen in the news. Who would have guessed 10 years ago that Russia and the United States would be considering a nuclear war in Syria? Who would have even guessed that? The sermon pastor gave that was on 9/9 of 2006. This is a news article concerning the ceasefire that was announced. Just ignore all the scribble. It was announced, and this was the breakthrough that would bring peace to Syria. This was going to be it. If this can't be accomplished, they don't know what else to do. Now, when this article came out, this agreement was made. Notice what date it was made on. Everyone see that date? September 9th, 2016. 10 years to the day from where Pastor raised his hand and said, let these things be so. But Pastor said nuclear war, of course, would take place. It would begin. The beginnings of it would take place September 12th, 2006. When they implemented this plan, when they agreed to do it, of course it was Senator Secretary of State John Kerry, and then you had Sergey Lavrov, who is the same position for Russia. But notice what date this agreement was supposed to go into effect. 10 years to the day a nuclear baby was supposed to be conceived. 10 years to the day. Does everyone get that? 10 years to this ceasefire. Well, what we want to show you, going into the news at this time, this ceasefire that has stopped, this ceasefire that didn't even last, it was a joke, it was not something that was sustainable, but every country is now preparing for nuclear war. Everyone is preparing for nuclear war. Could it be that Israel Hawkins' authorities recognized so much, this was granted in the courts of heaven, and now Yahweh says, you've had your opportunity, you're on your own. I'm protecting my house. What becomes of your kingdom becomes of your kingdom. And of course, it will burn this earth with utter destruction. Now, well, the answer, could it be so? What is the answer? Absolutely could be so, because it is so. Israel Hawkins is recognized through this universe, and everybody wants to meet him. I can promise you that. Well, going on into the news, we see this rhetoric that's taking place between Russia and the United States, and the tensions are building. We have Egypt, who is now bombing people in their own country. Egypt now saying they are in a state of war, which that was kind of news to me. They left a state of war. I thought they were still in a state of war. China, of course, if you remember, they're building islands around their country, hundreds of miles out from their country's border, and claiming that to be territory. And they're saying they're doing that to keep the United States off their borders. But of course, remember China. China's sitting in the back saying, don't blow up the United States. Who will buy our stuff if you blow them up? We need to get this BRICS banking system working so we can still sell. We need commerce. And then Israel continues to sink between Israel and Palestine. UNESCO actually referring to Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine, calling it, of course, Al-Quds, and Israel is very upset with that. And of course, talks have failed. Watch how many times you see talks have failed. There is a councilman, a humanitarian councilman for the UN. Watch how many times he refers and says these talks have failed. They failed. She asked him, when we look back in 20 years, what will we say? He'll say, we failed. Yes, they failed. They failed miserably, because this leader... Keep this in mind. I encourage everyone, go back and listen to the sermon given February the 1st of 1997. Pastor says, the countries you see, the government you see, these customs you see, if they're outside of Yahweh's house, they're part of the other system, 100%. So, and also, the UK is on alert right now. This is very interesting. Russia is moving an aircraft carrier from the north of their country by Norway, and they're coming down through the English Canal. They could easily go across the top part, the northern part, and just come right around. They don't want to do that. They want to go through the English Canal. That has put the UK Navy on alert. They are on special alert, and NATO has joined them. Watch this, and watch continually how this retaliation and continual war has caused these nations to fail. If we could go ahead and play the news.
When we look back at Syria in a decade, 20 years from now, what do you think we'll say?
Will say that we failed. I hope they will succeed in Lausanne, because if not, we will be picking up the pieces. We will be picking up the pieces. We will be picking up the pieces in this devastating civil war.
The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Oh, you're looking great. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. I hope you heard that, what the man said. If they fail, when they fail, we're going to be picking up the pieces. Oh, that's beautiful. Repeating our words. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. This news is great. It's really great. It shows that that they're realizing that wars are going to come. Soon they'll be realizing that we told them this before it came, and why it's why they're coming, why the wars are coming. If you remember, I spent a lot of time trying to get everyone to understand how this feuding got started, retaliations. You need to keep this in your mind now. Don't forget it. You need to always guard yourself about for getting angry. No, you have no right to get angry at me. You have no right to get angry at your husband. You have no right to get angry with your wife or your children. I've seen people jerk children up and spank them, you know, and that is the cruelest thing that you could do. What you need to do is teach them. I remember I got some training in this field for mother, and I would drop something on the floor or spill it, and I'd start crying, and she'd say, "It's okay, it's okay," and get me something else to play with. It's a great biblical lesson. Cain didn't do it. Adam and Eve didn't do it, but you do it. You make up your mind not to retaliate, not to get angry, not to lash back. Let them lash out at you. Let them call you names. Pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. That will do more benefit than slapping them. You know, you just start the war. Tomorrow, you're going to see a very special service tomorrow. Don't miss it, everyone. Get here early, if anything. You know, we have coffee waiting for you here at 5 o'clock, I think, or 5:30. You can't get here too early. Somebody's going to beat you to it. I woke up this morning and I was looking out at the pears on the Oriental pear trees. It's a miracle, don't you think? An Oriental pear tree with pears that it's not supposed to be. You know what an Oriental pear tree is? That's one the Chinese altered. It don't grow pears, but these have pears all over them. And the sucas, you know, can you believe from a dead stump a tree rose up overnight? Well, from these sucas, they rose up bananas and apples and oranges and pomegranates, and they're just hanging everywhere. Oh, boy, talk about miracles. Our people bring miracles, true miracles. this is going to be a very special service tomorrow, and you're going to see wisdom coming forth from children and the females in the house of Yahweh. Law reading of the law has been moved forward now for 1 hour, I think, tomorrow, and then women can all gather together and help decorate the peaceful scene. We're going to have the cameras out there too, so come dress for it. The law class will be the same law class. It's just moved forward a little bit so you can get the time in for the being part of this. This is the way it was for almost 6,000 years. And then it all started changing in my lifetime. And now we're facing the earth burning in 1 hour. Now that's what it's come to from this is the wisdom. I want to cover Yaakov some more in Yaakov because it's important for you to understand Eob, I mean. It's important for you to understand what Eob has. He has some things that the astrologers and astronomers they're just now learning about. And of course, Yahweh, this was Yahweh. Don't start reading it now. We'll get to it. Go over Revelation 6 first. But it's if you keep in mind, I'm not just up here to talk. I'm to teach you and to make sure you understand, things that will help you to understand the rest of the scriptures. It's here a little and there a little, and it must be put together in order to see what is coming and why it's coming. These wars that Russia and the United States is putting together, nuclear war imminent, as Russia tells citizens to find where the closest bunker is. Well, they're getting ready. They're trying to save their people because they want to come out on top. This is a very dangerous game. Moscow warns that U.S. strikes against Syria may lead to war between U.S. and Russia. Third world war would be extremely lethal and fast, U.S. Army Chief reveals. We didn't get to this overnight. It started with fussing and fighting among themselves, and then it led to retaliation, vengeance, and then continual war. I noticed the article this morning that someone gave to me, and immediately it came to my mind that NATO, the Pope's army, but they got another thing going now where the Vatican is trying to save the Vatican, trying to save their own hides. But Pope Francis builds Vatican army to prepare for coming world war. Pope Francis has quickly gathered. Now they're putting this together in a hurry, quickly gathered an army between 10 to 12,000 people. This made me think of the Royal Guard. Now the Royal Guard, you know, is the one that where the Roman army first started. And the Royal Guard was the paid Roman soldiers, the military. And of course it turned into being the roving army that took so many Yadim to Babylon. And remember where Babylon came from, where it started. If you don't remember that, you won't understand why they were taking all these people to Babylon. And then later the apostles brought out and showed us that this was building a mighty army. And then the Yahweh said, I will take you beyond Babylon, which was Rome, where they had another tremendous army. Well, of course, all of that failed, and it's going to fail again, of course. Yahweh shows the outcome, and the scriptures, they don't lie. They're accurate, very accurate, as the great elders brought out just now before the news. And here in chapter 6 now, we see the end result with what is called a quartet and two great armies. That's what the scripture calls it. They translated it 200,000 or millions or something like that in the King James Version. We fell for the same trick for a while, but anyways, two great armies. And of course, those two involve the rest of the world. The Pope and the Vatican are so stupid, you know, they probably don't even understand that 90% of these guards that they're putting together is ISIS anyway. And of course, they're just giving them a way in. They got a passport to get in and wipe them out. But you can run and hide. You know, I would I could get the Vatican to hear what I'm saying right now. You're too stupid to understand that you're putting together your own executioners. They're going to kid you. They're going to burn you with fire. You're not going to be saved out of this. Every one of you are going to die because you're practicing wickedness. And of course, that's what brought this whole thing about, wickedness, evil. And it's built up to the fact that they don't care for anyone's life except their own. If, you know, just so I'm alive, that's all they care. And of course, it'd be a bleak future if the Catholic Church actually survived and started running the world with their homosexual rapists scattered throughout their kingdoms. And of course, Pope Francis saying, you know, we got to sympathize with these sick nuts that's running the Vatican. I'm naming it like it is. They don't see it that way. You know, they see it beautiful, sparkling. Well, everything that sparkles is not gold, you know. Anyway, Revelations. It shows us the quartet. It shows you Yahshua. This is what you've got to understand here. 6:1. Revelation 6:1. It shows you Yahshua. Yahshua the Lamb. And, of course, Revelation starts with that. Genesis started with that, showing you Yahshua. Most people don't understand it, but you will in time. But the Lamb here and the four living creatures mentioned in chapter 4 and verse 6, these four, the quartet, are the ones that make war. You can call them creatures or beast or whatever you want to call them, but if you look in chapter 6, you'll see that these people have armies, and they make war, and they start war, and Yahweh says even after a third of the people are dead over that fourth part of the earth where these wars are being fought right now, they still won't repent because of money's sake. They're what started with Cush when he fathered the schools called Nimrod, which took over the world. They went to spreading like crazy, went down into Egypt. Egypt was the only thing that was different about Egypt was it had a king over them, and the king wouldn't let their religions come in. Well, we got that problem now today. That is, the Catholic Church has that problem. But we see that, and I saw when the Lamb opened the one of the seals, and meaning, and it's showing you here, if you'll just pay attention, no one could open these seals except Yahshua, which was revealed to us in the second chapter of Revelations as having qualified to open the seal. Well, that was, he qualified to be high priest over the house of Yahweh. Of all the priests that we've ever had for 6,000 years, none of them qualified to be high priest. According to the laws of the scriptures, none of them qualified. And of course, when Yahshua was on the scene, he preached daily in at the house of Yahweh in the sacred precincts. He said, I spoke daily with you, teaching these laws. The daily laws was done in the temple. It was a law to read these laws daily. And Yahshua was part of that reading the laws. But he was, and then he said, which of you can convict me of sin? Well, of course, they couldn't. He was sinless. And he qualified to be, finally, a true high priest over the house of Yahweh. Well, before that, we have Yahweh's sons. And this is what I've got to get you to understand. If you'll turn over to Eob, and we'll get back into this for one study. I'd like to spend 10 on it today, because it's rather lengthy, and it's it's difficult if you have a poor memory, you'll need to rehearse this. You need to rehearse it daily. There was something took place yesterday that I thought was fantastic when I heard about the women getting together and rehearsing a sermon. And I thought, man, this is really great. And I'm thinking we need to institute that in the house. And when we possibly can, which is not going to be long, where we'll be here at the house daily, we need the daily reading of the law. We need the praise Yahweh. We need the daily, the oblation, as it's called in the King James, and I think we called it that too for a while. But anyway, it was an obligation, more like obligation instead of the word oblation. But it means oblation it means obligation. Obligated by law to do this. So Yeshua fulfilled that law when he was teaching in the sacred precincts of the house of Yahweh. It starts off here, this book of Iob, you do well to really study this a lot. It reveals so much stuff that took place before mankind was created and put on the earth. In the land of Oz, there lived a man, Iob. Iob was his name. That man was perfect. So he starts right off telling you that this man practiced the laws of Yahweh. Remember, if you practice the laws of Yahweh, you're righteous. And of course, he says this man was perfect in all of his ways, he's blameless. He reverenced Yahweh and shunned evil. Now, Satan, of course, said, well, he's doing it for money's sake. He knows you're blessing him. You know, you've given him 5,000 sheep and so many cattle and donkeys and 500 she-donkeys and all this stuff. So this is the reason he's doing it, not because he loves the word of Yahweh or he sees the greatness in these laws that is going to bring peace to the universe. And Iob actually understood the universe more than the scientists do today. And that was one of the questions I asked him when I was taking a course at McMurray College in Abilene, astronomy. And I asked about this. And you know, they couldn't answer me. And I thought, you know, how much wiser Iob was than the teachers today, even with all their telescopes. Well, he says, seven sons and three daughters were born to him, his possessions. Then verse 4, his sons used to take turns holding feast in their homes, and they would invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of feasting had run their course, Iob would send and have them purified. He would raise early in the morning and offer sacrifices for each of them. For he said, before we go any further, the raising early in the morning. There are so many great sayings about the early bird gets the worm. you become rich. They're always associated with richness. But it seems like that the early people who start studying early when their minds are fresh, you seem to obtain it better than you do after the frustrations start coming. Remember that, because we do practice that here at the house of Yahweh. Iob would send, he would rise early in the morning and offer sacrifices for each of them. For he said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed Yahweh in their hearts. Well, here he's telling you that when you practice sin, you're cursing Yahweh. They weren't actually saying, cursed be Yahweh, or anything like that. The wife that was trying to get Eob to curse Yahweh, he was trying to get him to turn to sin and cut himself off from Yahweh. Is what that, and of course, she was blaming Yahweh. His wife was blaming Yahweh for something that Satan was doing. You see, we won't get to that till later. But anyway, that was her accusations against Eob and against Yahweh. She was against Yahweh, his wife was. And trying to get him to turn against Yahweh, cut himself off from Yahweh, and the curses would stop, of course. He said he is offering these for his sons. And he rose up early in the morning doing all of this in trying to get his sons forgiven. Now, we know that sacrifices do not pay for sins. And this is what Yahweh said. I've never required of you sacrifices. And they weren't sacrificing. Remember this. The 12 tribes were not sacrificing to Yahweh. They were sacrificing to gods. All the days in the wilderness when they was offering all these sacrifices, Yahweh said, did you think I didn't know that you were offering these to the gods? They never stopped being Coptic Catholic. Coptic Catholic is Egyptian Catholic. Catholic means universal, meaning they worship all the gods. That was taught in Egypt by the Hamites who took over land of Egypt. And of course, that's where Yahweh sent the 12 tribes who took over the land of Egypt. No, they didn't go there and wasn't put on in chains. And if you'll just read and pay attention until instead of putting your hopes in Moses or whatever his name was that played the Ten Commandments in Follywood, it's well, they brought forth a lot of folly. And of course, they have you thinking that these people were in chains, they'd be beaten with whips and making them pull rocks to build this or that. No, that wasn't it at all. They had them, their bondage was sin. And of course, if you'll just read and pay attention to what it says, Yosef was given. He was put over everything the king had. And he took the land of Israel into it. And of course, they became great. They've never been in bondage. They told Yeshua that. Yeshua said, I know you haven't been in bondage as slaves, but you've been in bondage to sin. He who practices sin is in bondage to sin. That was the bondage they were under, the same bondage as all the world today. They start you out in the schools learning to serve the Lord. Learning to serve the lords, the lords of Abilene. They got many schools training many students to make money for them in their corporations. They're training them for their corporations, making students that will work the rest of their life for this corporation. And they put in these big colleges and for training purposes. That's what Nimrod was. It was an ACU. It was a McMurray. It was a Hardin Simmons that taught service to Baal, the world, taught service to the world. Well, they also created democracy. Democracy, as they have it, it can be a great thing, and they teach that it is a great thing. But what it amounts to, they have control over the person. And of course, the person has no freedom if they step out of the line of this system that they're in education, debt, borrowing money. The student loans, you never get them paid off, you know. they start you off in debt, then you have to get a job, then this money starts coming out of your check to pay for the student loans that has built up interest for years and years now. And then you start going in debt for a car, a home, and of course the water bills are so high you can't pay them, but they just keep going up because they know they can grab that money out of your pocket with it. I'm just covering a few of these things, but that's the story of Nimrod, the Nimrod School, the McMurray, the Hardin-Simmons, the ACU. The same thing. It's the same thing. They don't teach salvation. Salvation comes with keeping the laws of Yahweh. Service to Yahweh, not service to Baal. You've been called out of this world for that purpose. Well, the sons of Eob, he thought they were sinning, so he offered sacrifice for them. Now, all of this time was spent on this telling you about Eob and his sons and their sins, showing that even though a man is righteous, even though a man is righteous, his sons could be exactly opposite. Now, that was the world, that was the mixed up thing that we see in Genesis 49. In the last days, that's the first verse in Genesis 49. In the last days, this what you see in Genesis 49, the evil, the fighting, the wars, the cruelty, all of those things are showed in Genesis 49. Please pay attention now, sons. Pay attention. All these things were shown in Genesis 49. How evil this world is going to be in verse 1, the last days. I'm going to scatter this, he said, throughout the whole world. And that's what's taking place, talking about genes. Well, now the doctors are trying to figure out how to cut them out. Not righteous or evil genes. But the ones that cause the symptoms like cancer and all the other, or diabetes and all these other illnesses, they're trying to make wave, trying to learn how to take these out of the seed and the sperm and before it gets a hold and starts developing this, because cancer starts in the mother's womb, and they know this. Between the mixture of the two genes coming from the dad and the mother, and of course this mixture, they know that it's causing cancer at a certain time period in the person's body. So now they're promising the people now, this is what they're putting in their mind, how brilliant they are, you know. Now, we've got to have three people. We can't just have two people. And so they put together a third one, and they take the great genes from one person, and they have to mix it with another great gene of the second one and the third one in order to get this person started in the womb, who they can say, well, you won't have this kind of cancer, this kind. Well, how many kinds of cancer are there, and how many kinds can I still have? Oh, several hundred. But we're going to stop this one. They got their hands full. Caesar's palace is not without problem, big problem. And then he goes into the sons of Yahweh. He shows you the sons of Eob here. And Eob knows they're sinning, offering sacrifice, and then he goes to Yahweh's sons. You get that? See that? Yahweh, now, there was a day when the sons of Yahweh, came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan came in the midst of them also. Satan came with her sons to present themselves. We're in verses 1 through 5. I should have stopped there. This righteousness, I'll just quote it because I'm running out of time. But the righteousness, he who practices righteousness is righteous. That's maybe let's go there because I need to bring out something I haven't brought in a while. Go to 1 Yochanan 2. They sinned. Eo practiced righteousness. His sons he knew was practicing or thought they were practicing sin. And in 1 Yochanan 2, look at verse 24 here. Now, this all ties together with Yahweh, his sons, Eob and his sons, the 12 tribes of Israel and their descendants down to Yahshua. In verse 24, he says, therefore, let us abide in that which was from the beginning. From the beginning. It's found on page 965, 1 Yochanan 2. 1 Yochanan 2, verse 24. Therefore, let this abide in you which you heard from the beginning. From the beginning. If you have abiding in you that which you heard from the beginning, you also will abide in the Son, Yahshua, the Lamb, the seal opener, and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us in the beginning, notice, eternal life, if you let this abide in you. Now, if you look back to Kepha, 2 Kepha, just turn backwards just a little bit. It's a book before Yochanan. 2 Kepha 2. If you let this abide in you, which you heard from the beginning, and the promise of eternal life, 2 Kepha, the second chapter now, and look at verse 4. For if Yahweh did not spare the Malachim, he's talking about his sons. He's talking about his sons here, that is mentioned as his sons in Eob. And if he didn't spare these, we'll see here in a minute, it'll show you. If Yahweh, this is Kepha now, who was very close to Yahweh, I would that everyone here was as close to him as Kepha was. Kepha didn't feel justified or worthy to be hung right side up on a stake. He begged them to hang him upside down. When the Vatican hung him, he begged them to hang him upside down because he didn't feel worthy to die like the Savior died. For if Yahweh did not spare the Malachim who sinned, but will cast them into Abyss, delivering them into chains of darkness. This is not in actual chains, not with a whip and a gun and a chair. This is ignorance, letting them remain in their ignorance. The more you find out and the more you sin, the more you'll practice sin and the more hell you'll create in doing so. So he had already tested them, as we'll see earlier. He already tested them, and they were not fit for what he wants the Son of Man, the sons of men, to be. They would never submit themselves. They'd be rebellious like Satan herself. They would never submit themselves to Yahweh, and they proved this, and he actually limited them right there. They actually limited themselves because now get this, back to the microorganisms, the macroorganisms simply refused to obey them anymore. So they're back to their ignorance and they can't go any further. And they're chained like the city of refuge in a city of refuge where they can live, but they can't create the hell they created here on earth to begin with. Verse 5, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah. He didn't spare his sons. And then he goes from that to Noah to show you he didn't spare the ancient world, but saved Noah. Why? The preacher of righteousness. He saved Noah, the preacher of righteousness. Now, the reason he did this was that Noah actually brought forth this genes, and then he brought forth the teaching, which you got to have both, and bring forth this teaching, brought forth this teaching then, and plus the genes. So in this way, the genes came down from Noah to Yeshua. From Noah to Yeshua. But also now, in these same genes, as Genesis 49 showed, they went into Egypt, where they created the Nimrod system, big time. And that's where Yahweh took the 12 tribes of Israel to experience the bondage of sin and all the trouble it causes. Remember the great diseases? He said, if you will serve me, if you'll do righteousness, that's what he wanted. He said, you will not suffer any of these great diseases of Egypt. These great diseases of Egypt are with us today. All over the world, and they're multiplying like crazy throughout the nations. They're losing the race on antibiotics. The microorganisms are actually outsmarting them. Well, notice the righteousness now. Noah, the eighth person, and eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the unrighteous, those who were lawbreakers. Well, of course, Noah was warning the people. And that's this. The writing here is bringing in the flood. He actually had nothing to do with bringing it. He was trying to prevent it, and he was actually preaching for 130 years while he was preparing the ark. He was preaching, but of course, none of the people heard what he said. They didn't believe it. And Yahweh said, we'll have the same scoffers in these last days. The unrighteous, now look at verse 6, and condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Sodomites. Yes, Yahweh set an example there for you Vaticanizers. He set an example for you that you're not going to be spared. You're going to burn. Read Revelation 17 and 18, and you'll see you're going to burn. The people you think are your allies and friends are going to turn on you and eat your flesh. It's all shown in Revelation. If you would stop changing the book of Yahweh and go back, you got it in your, you still got it, you stole it, and you're still keeping it prisoner. And you won't let the prisoners go free, will you? You're going to hold the book of Yahweh, the only thing that could save you. If you would get rid of this mess you got there, you're reading now that's written by evil popes, and go back to the book of Yahweh and repent and convert, yes, Yahweh would hear you. and condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes. Well, of course, this was being preached too. And they were telling them that the earth is going to vomit you out. You're bringing too much evil on this particular spot, and it won't be allowed in Yahweh's plan because he's got to bring forth a Savior that will save you. Now, if Yahweh had not done this, there would be no salvation, because it was a must that Yahweh bring forth Yahshua. That is, Yahshua is the one that paid for our past sins, but he paid for anyone's past sins who will repent and convert. Well, that's just the start of this Eob. It's a wonderful book with, I would say, at least a couple of thousand secret things that need to be revealed right now. But we'll get into it a little bit later. Everyone, please try to participate this afternoon now in this in the gathering at the peaceful scene. We want as many people in that camera as we possibly can. We're going to put it behind the songs and one of the Ten Kings at the Vatican. You're stupider than the Ten Kings, but you chose the Ten Kings. But you're all equally ignorant concerning the Scriptures and salvation. You really need to pay attention to the house of Yahweh. Yahweh has a work that would save you. He's not going to spare you. No, you're creating this hell for yourself. The only protection he offers is the house of Yahweh. And of course, you'd have to repent and come to the house of Yahweh. But you won't do that, Vatican. You'd rather be Vaticanizing till you die. As the song goes, I hope everyone's learned it, till your last dying breath. May Yahweh bless you. I love you. I'll turn it over to the next speaker.